This is The Drive.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to The Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the f*** up. The Drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
All right, it is the draft reaction show.
Minus Nate.
Sorry, Nate. Nate couldn't handle the heat.
Which, by the way, could you imagine?
Oh, God, if Nate was here, you and I'd be playing Parcheesi right now.
I know.
Letting him go. 339-1140, you can text us at 44-1140. We're going to play comments from Vlade Divac last night here in just a minute. We want to get your reaction, and somebody alluded to this on the text line a couple times, and this is very true. What makes me even more upset, despite the fact that it could have been a one-year possible rental, but how would you be feeling today if the Sacramento Kings had drafted Malachi Richardson, Scal Labissiere, and then they had made that trade, which gave them the number 13 pick? Because guess what? The number 12 pick yesterday got Jeff Teague. How would the Kings be looking right now if they had flipped that 12 for Jeff Teague and then added in those two other guys? There's like 50 things that continually get thought of where you're like, well, this would have made more sense. This would have made more sense. This would have made more sense. And as we've said all day, Katie, we may look back 3 years from now and go, Vlade's a genius. My God. And guess what? I hope that's right. I'll get freaking Vlade tattooed on my arm, on my tattooless body. I will get Vlade tattooed on my arm with his number underneath if this kid ever makes an all-star team. I swear to God I will. Write that down. I hope I'm wrong so badly. I really do. But sometimes, I'll put it like this. This is the nicest way I can put it. If there has been one major flaw in this franchise, in the new regime, and I'm talking about since they bought it, it's that I think sometimes they think they're smarter than everybody else. I think that sometimes they want to reinvent the wheel, and I appreciate that in many cases, the arena. The wiring in the arena, the farm to fork, the green initiatives, all that. Very forward thinking. And that's okay. But sometimes systems are there because they work.
Proven.
And there's not much of a track record. Somebody's saying, hey, hold on. Look at all the free agents we signed last year. That worked out great. Let's wait for the end of the season or the summer. The free agents worked out great? What are you talking about? Rondo was at best a C. Costa Kufis, love him, was a C.
See, here's the
Marco
thing.
Marco Bellinelli was an F.
Here's the thing. When you look at the free agents last
D.
year, Caron Butler never played.
Caron Butler was an incomplete.
Yeah. But Rajon Rondo, I think, is really in people with Seth Curry. Seth Curry did the most with what he had, but it was a very small body of work, and that had nothing to do with him.
Another incomplete.
Caron Butler, again, has nothing to do with him. Rajon Rondo is the one free agent they signed last year that put up numbers.
He led the league in assists at $9 million a year.
Put up numbers. So I think people maybe inaccurately grade him because they're looking at stats and stats alone, but there was some huge deficiencies in terms of his game that, guess what? You need your starting point guard to be able, especially on a team like the Kings, where you don't have a huge, you have a fall off, a big fall off when you go into the bench.
Huge fall off.
And so he needs to make up for those things. And really all he did was control the ball, get a ton of assists.
And took advantage of George Karl's system.
Yes.
And I've defended Rondo all year. I actually think he's fine. I thought it was, you get the leader in assists at $9 million a year. I know there's a lot of advanced statistics that say he was actually a rough player last year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to point at Rajon Rondo and say that was the bad free agent move, but Jesus, come on, let's be honest. It's not like there was a windfall of awesome free agent last year.
It was not a home run.
Derek, before we get to Vlade Divac, let's talk to Derek. He's been holding for a while. Derek, thanks so much for holding. We appreciate it. Welcome into the drive.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Actually, this is the first time I've called. So a couple things. A couple days ago, Katie, 100% with you. 4 years in the draft, please. These guys come into the league and they do the small things right, which can build on their confidence and they can grow later on versus these athletic guys who make stupid decisions that get back to the bench and the coach yells at them, and then we expect them to grow and become a better player. So that was the first one. Second one is we need to think about the long-term viability of this franchise, and that means trading DeMarcus Cousins for a boatload of assets. We keep thinking, oh, we're going to build around him, we're going to build around him, but with what? We can't get free agents, and we don't have any picks in the draft because we got rid of them to clean up our cap. So if you look at this really from the situation of creating a bidding war between Los Angeles and Boston, I say go with Boston, get some players, and get those pick swaps from the Nets.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, Derek, is we're trying to, you know, kind of make sense of the moves that were made by the Kings yesterday in the draft. You've got to look at all possibilities, and we talked about it a little bit earlier on the show, is that now more than ever, there is that kind of question mark has been removed of whether or not this team would ever consider moving DeMarcus to acquire some major assets, because guess what? You would get a lot for him, and you should.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, whether or not we know the full story about last year's offseason going into the 2015-16 season, I have no doubt that they listened to offers for DeMarcus, because guess what? That is the smart thing to do. Whether or not you truly want to get away, give him away and get rid of him, you have to listen to the offers. They didn't obviously get anything that they liked. Doesn't mean that they're not going to get something that they like this year. And as much as I like DeMarcus, because I really do like him as a player, obviously, you know, he's not perfect. There's some other issues aside from his skill set on the floor that caused some problems. But guess what? When you draft a player like DeMarcus Cousins and he's developed into a two-time All-Star, his value is skyrocketing. And as much as you love him, you love your team and winning more. And so if you cannot get the pieces to go around him via the draft or free agency, then you have to start looking at what you can get for him to make this team into a winning franchise.
What worries me, and a lot of people are trying to be positive, and I appreciate that hey, listen, the moves aren't done.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the end of the summer. There's a few trades out there that can completely straighten this out. It just bothers me that it needs to be straightened out, that it's crooked. Why put yourself in a corner so you have to fight your way out of it? Why do that? Again, every single person I spoke to last night, because I fully believe this was a precursor to trading DeMarcus, it's the only thing that makes sense, said, we're not trading him. We are not trading DeMarcus Cousins anytime soon. He's opening the year. So that, and I'm not talking about PR, like people that call and give statements on the record. I'm talking about people that were upset with the draft last night that are still saying the same thing, that work for the organization, that are going, I don't know what's going on, but yeehaw, we're keeping DeMarcus. Okay, that's fine. Put that to the side. Then what?
Guess what? They've got an asset in Rudy Gay as well that should get you some value on the trade market. And we've talked a lot about the fact that we believe that he won't be here for numerous reasons next season.
Yes.
So you've got that. But, I think absolutely. Unless some crazy blockbuster trade is offered to them, that they look at it and they're like, there is no way that we cannot accept this offer
never
for DeMarcus.
Never say never, of course.
Right.
And that would be stupid not to.
Yeah, and I believe, exactly. I believe that they're going to start the season with him. It doesn't mean they're going to finish
the
season with
right.
him.
You're absolutely right. Well, and we all have to remember, too, there's one more year on DeMarcus's contract after next. And at some point, here's the thing. Whether you love or dislike or hate DeMarcus Cousins, here's what's evident. He's really good, and he desperately wants to be here. So we always have this conversation about, well, do the Kings want to trade him? Do they want to keep him? What do they want to do? Well, at some point, you have to believe if things keep going a certain direction, or more to the point, they don't change direction. We never talk about the fact anymore that, well, what if DeMarcus wants out?
You know what, Dave? That is such a good point. It's such a good point because, you know, we've heard of plenty of other players. Rudy Gay, Ben McLemore. There is plenty of players, Marco Bellinelli, mm-hmm. before the trade happened, very vocal about the fact that, okay, you know, and Ben's not the one saying I want out, like he's doing it through his agent. His agent's trying to move him, but that's definitely coming from his client. And I can understand it because he has not done well here. He has been jerked around from starting to not starting.
Yeah.
Like it's been all over. So I understand it from a player perspective. The only person who has never done this is DeMarcus. There was rumors that it was happening,
right.
But he was the one that called off the dogs and said no. I want to stay here. It was his agent that was looking to move him.
He literally overruled Dan Feagan and said, I want to stay here.
Exactly.
But then we get pissed off when he has an emotional reaction to the same emotional reaction we have to the draft.
Yeah.
Instead of just looking at it, I get you want your stars to be above that. That's fine and dandy. But take away the agenda either way. I'm perfectly fine with him being vocal about the fact that he doesn't understand what the hell is going on.
Everyone else is.
Everyone else feels the same way.
He's not allowed to. So I'm going to say this right before we go to break.
Uh-huh.
I, from my job with the Kings, I know DeMarcus very well. He trusts me. I can talk to him. There's a lot of things that he has said. And I will tell you in full honesty right now, he has never said to me, I don't want to be here.
Right.
He has never said. He wants to be here. He wants to win here. But it's like at this point, I feel he's just like, man, they keep stacking the deck against me.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will do nothing when we come back other than hit play and listen to Vlade Divac from last night. His comments after the draft in their entirety coming up right at the top of this next segment. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey!
It's The Drive, Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival coming October 22nd, 23rd, Discovery Park, Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets are on sale now. More info, aftershockconcert.com. Katie, I was thinking about it earlier because we got to get to Vlade Divac right now. You know what the frustration at this draft for me personally is like? This is like a fantasy football draft where somebody drafts a kicker in the first round. It's what the Kings did.
You know what? I understand what you're saying.
They could still.
I mean, first round. We're basically referring to the lottery pick.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, you could draft a kicker in the first round for your fantasy football team and still win the league. You could still make the playoffs and still have a successful team, but you've put yourself behind the eight ball that you have to work out of it. It's an unnecessary thing to do.
Okay. So real fast, I want to read this right before you.
Real fast. Yes.
So Joe on the tweeter machine TV, he said, just watch Isaiah Cousins highlights. Nice.
Malachi Richardson.
Yeah, Malachi Richardson. It's all put together. I, for some reason, couldn't say it. Malachi Richardson, good frame. Papianis, 2 years. Defense for Skull defense, finding my silver lining. I hear you.
Everyone find your silver lining. Sounds like a soda commercial. Here's Vlade Divac from late last night talking about, we've been criticizing him all morning. Let's let Vlade talk about the draft.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would start with, we start our day with the one pick. You know, we turned that one pick in a lot of talent that going to join us. I think it's, we followed the Greek kid, for a long time, and we felt pretty good to go down and turn that pick in a three different picks, basically, and get him on the number 13. And then we were really surprised that the Skull fell to 28, and that talent you couldn't pass. Obviously, we got rights from one of the best European player that is still in Europe, that Phoenix drafted him a couple of years ago. Obviously, Isaiah Cousins is, again, surprise for us that he's was available at 59. Obviously, we tried to improve the point guard position, so it was no-brainer to take him.
Were you going into this, were you thinking about moving down to get yours?
No, we had our guys, at the number 8, but obviously they were picked, before. So we made a decision to go down and turn that pick, in... In a 3-4 basically, and build our team for the future.
What was the situation with Bellinelli? Was it something that just came up that?
That's right.
Scratch that.
I'm listening.
What was the decision not to go with Chris or Baldwin? Decided to skip on those two guys.
Well, like I said, we felt pretty strong about turning that pick in basically 3-4 picks, and we felt like our guys gonna be available after the those that left in the top 6, we felt like we can go down and add more more talent on our team.
Did this meet or exceed expectations?
Personally, I think, you know, exceed. You know, it was a lot of work over there today, and I'm very excited.
You anticipated being this active, I guess?
No, really. I know. I thought, you know, it's going to be easy like last year. You know, it just, you know, with the wheelie, you know, he fell in our lap, you know, last year. So I thought, you know, with a little luck, you know, we can get, you know, those top six guys, but they weren't there. So we just decided to go a different way.
What is your vision? I mean, we're looking at four centers here. You got DeMarcus, you got Willie.
Well, it's still all summer, you know. You know, we have free agency, we have summer league, you know. Obviously, we try to be active in a free agency. And we are set with the big guys, so now we're going to go with the small guys.
Do you expect George to come over this year and play?
Say again?
Do you expect him to come over this year and play? Or do you
probably not, because, you know, when you know, he's he has a buyout. So, but next year you have to understand that we're not going to have a pick, probably, you know, because it was a 1-10 protected from Chicago. So I try to, you know, think about next year too.
How big is that buyout?
I don't know. I don't know.
With Bogdanović, is that somebody you anticipate having to wait another year for?
Yeah, I knew, and like I said, you know, it was more thinking about next year when we don't probably, we're not going to have a draft pick, so we need somebody who can come and be as a rookie.
You've seen him a lot, right?
Yeah, I saw him very well. You know, he's definitely one of the best European player right now over there.
Scott was a guy who, a year ago, people were talking about being a top two, top three pick. What about him?
Well, I don't know, top two to three, but you know, he was definitely was in conversation about top 10, mm-hmm. And I think that was that's a steal for us.
Do you look for him and, you know, Cousins, Isaiah Cousins, you know, to come in and fill in an immediate needs, or are you okay with them working out?
I'll be honest, you know, I think looking at Scott, you know, he's very talented. You know, it's probably best upsides, you know, in the whole draft. He has to work, you know, hard to get there. Isaiah, I think, is more, you know, who can, you know, help us this year with the, you know, being backup winger.
Was it tough to not go with the point guard early in the draft when you did move down?
Well, it wasn't, you know, our point guard was earlier gone, you know, so we just felt like, you know, we got to go with the best player available. And the point guard wasn't there.
Who were you
targeting? The point guard was gone. Well, it's a few of them. They left.
With George, I mean, it would imagine, like you said, he'd probably stay back over there.
Who?
With Papayannis.
No. I talk about Bogdanović. He's going to stay there, but Papayannis is coming, yeah.
Oh, you expect that? You do expect him?
No, yeah. I'm sorry if I...
Oh, that's what I asked. Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I'm talking about Bogdanović. Okay. He's going to stay there for a year.
Yes.
And he's going to be another, you know, guy who's going to come next year that help us because we don't have a pick. But Papayannis, yeah, he's coming this year, yeah.
And you think
I would be crazy if it was different, yeah.
Is he ready to contribute?
Yeah. I watched the workout, you know, and our scouts, you know, follow him very much, you know. So we think, you know, he can definitely be something similar what Willie was last year. So I would be happy with that.
He said he could be. He's got 3-point shooting in his game.
He has everything. You know, he's just young. You know, he has to, you know, learn the NBA style of basketball. But he has a lot of talent. You know, it's I'm very happy. You know, I think, you know, it's somebody that down the road can be probably all-star player.
So many teams nowadays looking to try to get smaller, get more guards, more wing guys. What's your philosophy behind, you know, going with another, you know?
It's balance. Balance, you know. We have to, you know, of course, now the small ball in some team is working, for some team doesn't work, you know. I think our team is has to be balanced between, you know, point guards and the big guys.
Did you think he wasn't going to be available in the late 20s? Obviously, that's what you guys wanted. Was there a concern about that?
Yeah, because we had, you know, some rumors that he meant it. That's why we took that decision.
With him, is there a buyout or any? He was talking about possibly being a restriction for him to come over right away. Looking forward to it.
But. It is a buyout, but that's nothing to, you know, going to stop him to come this year.
Okay.
So you there's still more work to be done.
Yeah, a lot of work. You know, this is just one first step. You know, we have, like I said, you know, free agency is coming. You know, we have a summer league. We have 2-3 months before we really assemble our team for next year.
Does adding these two bigs, does it kind of change the direction of what you might do in the coming weeks as free agency and trades come up?
It could be. You know, we now have a lot of, you know, talents, and now we can, you know, play with it.
Would you like to have Rondo back?
Yeah. I mean, Rajan, you know, had a, you know, great year for us last year.
Seems like you've cleared a lot of cap space along the way, too. I mean,
it just happened. It wasn't the plan. It was just happened because, you know, like I said, you know, we didn't start this day thinking, you know, we're going to end up with 3 picks, you know. And that was, like, very exciting for us, you know, to have those picks turned in a great talent squad.
Your phone, was it kind of ringing off the hook, you know, through the whole thing?
Yes, most of them from GMs, but your colleagues also tried to, you know, call me. I didn't have time for you guys today.
Did you guys seriously consider trying to move up to get the point guard you were looking for?
We were, you know, very close to, but we had to give up too much, and we decided not to do that. You know, we went to other direction.
How much different will the roster be down the road come October than it is right now?
It's hard. It's hard to know. You know, it's like I said. It would be probably the same thing with what happened today. We didn't expect to have 3-4 draft picks, but it happens.
All right, that's Vlade Divac from last night. Fairly late. I want to say it was around 10 o'clock or after. So a lot of stuff to get to from that as we head into the 7:30 second half of the show. Katie and I, and there's Vlade and a number of other things. We've been doing our best to break down this draft and try to make sense of it. We want you to weigh in now. This is your therapy session. It's Kingsaholics Anonymous, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Keep the texts up at 44-1140. Would love to hear your phone calls next. It's The Drive, Sports 1140, KHDK.
There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, Superfly, you're gonna make your fortune by and by. But if you lose, don't ask no questions why. The only game you know is do or die. Hard to understand.
Your phone calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That's what the rest of this morning is about, your reaction to the Kings draft, and we'll reset all of that here in a couple moments. A lot of people have been holding for a while. Tim, you're on the drive.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Hey, Katie's here, too.
I just wanted to say, hey, Katie, what's up?
Hey.
Thank you for letting me just drench my brain with you guys this morning. The first thing I really wanted to address was I was excited that they were making moves, that they, you know, they didn't decide to go with the first thing that fell in their laps, and then they went and they got 3 picks, you know, and I thought that's great, you know, and then they started loading them up, and it looked like they had a plan, even though, you know, we didn't get the player that we needed. And then Mr. Cousins, I'm so glad I didn't buy his jersey, goes and it's already hard enough for us to get free agents. Then he makes us go and look even more dysfunctional. They're just having a field day with us on the other radio station this morning, the national show, just talking about how nobody wants to come here. Yeah, and then he goes and makes us even sound more dysfunctional. He gives great effort, but where's his attitude? You know, where the rest of the players are welcoming all the new people to their teams, he has to go and make some remark that just embarrass us. And
well, Tim, let me be real honest here. DeMarcus Cousins is probably going to get killed on this radio station all day long. That's just my guess. He's going to get killed on this station, and he's going to get killed nationally. So let me just be that guy and put on my glasses here, my big purple Kool-Aid glasses. Tim, I have no problems with it. I want him to be honest. Screw it. Why shouldn't he be? Everyone else is welcoming their players because they understand the plan. There's one thing we know for sure. Anybody who had any inclination that DeMarcus Cousins was running the Sacramento Kings had that answer answered for them last night. This is a guy who's been with this team for 6 years, and he is far from perfect. And if people want to say he's a big part of the problem, I'm open to that, too. I understand that side. But 6 years, he's had franchise moves. He's had new ownership. He's had 27,000 point guards. He's had all this stuff. They get him Willie Cauley-Stein. They have no point guard. They have no shooting guard. They have a three that's on his way out, and they grab 700 big men. My God, don't you want this guy to be honest and say, what the hell are we doing?
Well, Dave, that didn't help me feel better this morning.
You know what, though, Tim? I will say this. From your perspective, I absolutely understand what you're saying, Tim.
I do, too. Look
at it, like I said it earlier, I have no problems with what DeMarcus said on Twitter. I have no problem at all with that. Because you know what? We're sitting here. We're all giving our opinions. He could have absolutely destroyed the Kings yesterday in a tweet, just like about a zillion other fans have, like other media sources. Yes, they're going to get scrutiny for this because as of right now, there's still a lot of things that people don't understand with this draft and how it worked out for the Kings. But I can understand from Tim's perspective where he's saying, you know what? If I were a player and I'm putting on my tennies and my uniform right now and my player's cap, if I were a player coming to this organization after this draft and I saw that, I'd be like, ooh, scary. Like, oh, didn't get the welcome, didn't get the whatever. So I get his perspective and what he's saying. But to more on what you said, Dave, and you want him to be honest.
I want him to be honest. And you know what?
This is the lowest level thing. I mean, He could have done much worse.
He could come out and said, I want to trade. Get me out of
here.
We've got a guy who's the best big man, or at worst, the second best big man in the league, who's 26 years old, who's making $15 million, which is great, but it's certainly not value when you base on what everyone else is making, who's saying, I don't care despite all the stuff that has gone on in this city. I want to be here. I want to win. I'm going to do all this charity stuff. I'm going to bust my ass in the summer. I want to win. And then when they draft Jonkis Papagiannoulis and no one knows what the hell's going on.
In that Vlade interview, and that was the first time I've heard it, because last night he had this media availability, this presser, after I was in bed. It was late last night when this happened. So he said, and I wrote it down, he's calling it now. He said he's probably going to be an all-star player.
I hope to God that someday I will have to drop to my knees and lick Vlade Divac's boots and cry and apologize to him for being so stupid and doubting him. I swear to you, I hope that's what happens.
Papagiannis is a 18-year-old kid.
7'2".
Yeah. So we all know, I mean, even most 18-year-olds we see, especially, you know, the higher they go up on the height chart, there's a lot of development time in his future. A lot of development time before he even fully knows how to use that 7'2" body.
Well, it's good because the Kings are in a position where they can use projects. Hi, Mike.
Hello?
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike Fair Oaks. First time caller.
Nice.
Mike, we appreciate it. Fair Oaks, a fine town. We always love the 95628.
Yeah. So I love the Kings. I love Cousins. I follow the draft closely. I think the Kings could make the playoffs with Cousins. I still believe that. But I think I love, like, okay, all night, like, when the draft happened, I followed the draft closely, and I was super pissed when I heard them call Potapotenko's name Giannis.
Giannis Papagiannis. I'm trying.
And then as it moved forward through that, I got more and more sad. And then I worked all night, and I sat on a train all night, and I thought about it all night long. And this morning, I'm starting to feel really happy about it. So hear me out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cousins is in his prime. If you're ever going to get the most for him, it's right now. And he's going to Brazil. He's going to have a long year this year. So if we wait till the end of this year, when he's finished with Zika virus and he's all broke down,
he's not going to be worth anything anymore. Well, he will be, but here he is. He's at his peak right now. And we know that the Lakers showed interest. We know that the Celtics showed interest. And a lot of people also know that next year's draft is going to be off the hook. And we have a protected top 10 draft pick. If we go to the playoffs and get 8 and lose in the first round to Golden State, guess what? We lose that pick. But if we trade, maybe he's thinking he's going to package one of these guys. Vlade's going to package Cousins and one of these random weird draft picks that nobody understands to get, like, maybe a Brandon Ingram or a Jaylen Brown with a pick next year in the first round. Imagine having one of those guys, 2 picks in the first round next year.
Mike, you know what? Sitting here listening to you, Dave and I are looking at each other and kind of going like, okay, I see where you're coming from with this. You're looking long term. And I think maybe a little bit of the frustration is, and we've said it a couple times today, we'll gain more clarity on last night's pick. This is a reaction to something that happened, you know, 12 plus hours ago. It hasn't even been 24 Certainly. Hours. And so we're still trying to process this, and we're listening to you guys. We're talking amongst ourselves. We are trying to gain clarity on this situation right now. And in the days and weeks to come, as we go through summer league and free agency, we'll gain more clarity. But I can't fault Mike for saying, hey, this might be, and this may not be what a lot of fans want to hear, but this might be a chess game, not a checkers game right now. It might be a long-term plan that they have in place that they cannot say, but in their, you know, in their inner circle, maybe that it makes a lot more sense.
Well, we're talking about a DeMarcus Cousins trade that hasn't even happened yet, but my response to Mike, and I totally get what he's saying, and I appreciate what he's saying too. Let me ask you this. Who do you think is better? Who would you rather have on your team, DeMarcus Cousins or Serge Ibaka?
That's so hard for me to answer. I mean, the question is DeMarcus, but it depends on what's around him.
Okay, well we've said
huge Serge Ibaka
fan. So am I. We've said all morning that DeMarcus Cousins is the best big in the league. Serge Ibaka is a big too. So by proxy, that means DeMarcus Cousins. He's better than Serge Ibaka.
Different positions, though.
Right. Well, both big men though. Both big men. We're talking about a slide 4-5 versus a 5. Either way, my point is this. The Oklahoma City Thunder last night got Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the 11th pick in the draft, which ended up being Domantas Sabonis. So if you're gonna, we don't know what they would get for DeMarcus, even if they traded him, which, by the way, again, every single person I've talked to with the organization says, that's not happening. He's not going anywhere. But if they were, well, that's the type of trade you look at. Imagine if we'd have traded. You got to think we would have gotten a little bit more out of that. Maybe another first next year.
Dave, we've been talking about how this team has been tightening their inner circle even tighter and tighter and tighter over the last year. Because guess what? They had a ton of leaks. There was a ton of issues, especially under Pete D'Alessandro.
And That's true.
And so maybe, you know what? Maybe the people that you're talking to, maybe the inner circle is all of 3 or 4 people.
Maybe they don't
know
what the hell is going on. And you know what? I'll tell you what. You want to talk about a positive from yesterday? If you were spinning positives from yesterday, there sure as hell weren't any leaks about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected any of this.
Well,
no
from
leaks
listening
whatsoever.
To Vlade, he also said, like, look, we had our plan A. The guys that we were targeting to trade up for didn't work out.
Right.
So we went a different direction.
We
gained picks.
And for those just joining us right now, before we get to the phones, you know, we do have to reset some of the things we were saying in the 6 o'clock. You literally could reverse the picks in this draft, and I would probably be more happy if you'd have picked Scott Labissiere at 13, then you'd gone Malachi Richardson, and then Papagiannis at 28. That would actually made more sense to me. Denzel Valentine coming in next.
This is what it comes down to, and Vlade said it in his interview last night. He said that they had heard some rumors that Papagiannis would not be available later in the draft. I think they meant to take him later in the first round.
Well, you know what?
I'm just saying that's what Vlade said.
But let me tell you something. I hope he's wrong.
I'm also saying on the flip side that I would not be surprised if people who knew that the Kings were interested. Like, say, who picked right after the Kings? Who picked after the Kings? It was the Chicago Bulls. We all know that Joakim Noah, we have no idea what his future is. Right now, it's rumored that the Knicks are going to target him in free agency. So maybe they heard that the Bulls were going to be interested in Papagiannis. And maybe the Bulls said that because they're tampering a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not tampering.
They're trying to force somebody into making a pick that they, you know, because it's a based on a fear thing.
That's like, where I hope Vlade, that was some sort of chess move by Vlade, because if you grabbed a guy that was ranked at highest 22 and on average in the 40s, and you picked him with the 13th pick, and you just told the media that one of the reasons you did is because you'd heard a rumor that someone else, you know what you just did? You just created open season for every other GM to call Adrian Wojnarowski every single draft year and go, hey, we're interested in this guy. So, which they have no interest in whatsoever.
And forcing you to make a pick that you do not want to make.
Thank you.
And because guess who was available right after the 13th
Denzel
pick?
Denzel Valentine.
Yes, so. But on our tinfoil hats right now.
Tinfoil hats, like a knit cap. Jeff, you're on the drive.
Good morning. Good morning. Candy's nice talking with you. Dave, usually we have discussions like this out on the golf course. So you just touched on what my point was, and that is exactly that. If unless they thought that this center and I don't know, Big Poppy, I'll call him because I can't think of his name. Unless they really had an inkling that some other team was going to take them before he was available for their next pick, then that's the only excuse that I can think of for picking him when they did. Because if not, you threw away an opportunity to put, you know, two racehorses in the barn at the cost of one. And so, you know, you can never get that back. If there's a, and when it's draft time, you know, it's all based on potential and expectations. So you got to go with that at the time of the draft. And if you have a player on the board that is expected to be a, you know, potentially a great player, then you take him. And then you have this other need, and you have your eye on this other person for a draft pick down the road. Then you take them when at the value that they're at, and you can never get that other. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no mulligans. Yeah, there's no mulligans, Jeff. Absolutely. And guess what?
Get that mistake back.
The draft, and there's a long list of teams, and I think that, you know, when you are a fan of a specific team, you follow that specific team very closely, and you realize you're not aware of the mistakes that other teams are making to the degree that you're aware of the mistakes that your team is making. So guess what? The Kings aren't the only one that have ever made mistakes in the draft. We're not saying at this point, because it's way too early to say that this is a mistake. It's just a pick that has a lot of people scratching their head, and it's going to take time before we can say, hey, Vlade nailed it, or Vlade really messed this one up.
I would continue her point too, and then I obviously let you finish here. I understand what you're saying. Hey, if this is the guy you want, you grab him, okay? But it's like going to an auction, okay, and you want to buy a freaking baseball card that's valued at $100, and they call out for bids, and you go, $1,000. Well, why? Because you want to make sure you get that baseball card and nobody outbids you. There is a chess match in addition to getting the guy you want that also you don't use the picks that aren't necessary at that point to grab that guy early. In other words, this guy was rated to be available in the 20s, and God forbid somebody else grabs him. Oh, no. Then just grab the next guy on the list. Because Papianis, if he's the future of this franchise, if he's that important when your core are two big men, then you don't have I don't know what the plan is. I have no idea what the plan is.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, and Vlade can say right now, and it's going to take a lot of time before we find out if he nailed it or completely miffed on this. He says that he thinks he's probably going to be an all-star. He's 18 years old. He's 7'2", 18 years old. The earliest that he could potentially be an all-star, in my opinion, let's say mid-20s. Even DeMarcus Cousins, who was highly rated.
Yeah.
How old was he when he made his first all-star?
Is he 24,
game?
2 years now?
Yes.
I cannot sit here to be clear. I'm not. Here's things that I'm not. I don't want people to get mixed up. I'm not saying the Kings don't have a plan. I'm sure they do. I just don't know what it is. And it's none of my business. Let them do their thing. Okay, because if I know what the plan is, other NBA teams know what the plan is.
They don't have to tell us what their plan is. Exactly. Exactly.
Number two, I can't sit here and tell Vlade Divac that was a dumb pick. Because Vlade has seen more tape on him. His scouts have seen more tape on him. They've seen him in person. I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name, so I can't say that. I thought Thomas Robinson was a great pick. I was happy with Jimmer Fredette, and man, I was over the moon at George Karl. So I'm a documented moron when it comes to this stuff. My biggest issues are two things. One, you're drafting at a position of strength, and you did it twice with Labissiere. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, you used a 13 on a guy that was rated an average of about 41. So if some other NBA team is using their Ouija board and they go, oh, we got to grab this guy at whatever, it's 17. Okay, fine. Sorry. Now you've got Denzel Valentine. You missed out on Papi Giannis. Now you follow it up with Scal Labissiere and Malachi Richardson, and let's all go home and have some In-N-Out Burger. That's what I don't understand, Katie. That's what's got me upset. Chris, you're on the drive.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So all these people that are thinking DeMarcus is possibly going to get traded, I would believe that more if we would have kept that original 8 pick that we chose because of the upside that he had being a stretch 4 and having a 3-point range kind of like DeMarcus.
You talking about Marquise Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
I really feel that if, you know, DeMarcus was kind of on his way out possibly at the end of this year or anytime soon, that would have been a pick we could have had.
Put Marquise Chris next to Willie Cauley-Stein and there's
your front court of the future.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because with all the people that are saying we're going to take one of these guys and pair him with DeMarcus, you don't need to pair anybody with DeMarcus to get a bunch of picks or a bunch of, you know, fairly good players and, you know, some really good ones as well. There's nothing you need to pair with that guy that no team in the league would be saying, oh, well, if you would have given me, Papa John's pizza as well with DeMarcus Cousins, then I'll definitely make that trade with you. No, you don't need to do things like that. And having a guy that is going to be potentially an all-star in, you know, 3-4 years, whatever it is, even the skill set that Willie Cauley-Stein has right now from what he showed last year, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein might not even be an all-star for 3 or 4 years. And that kid blew our minds, I think, last year. Now we're taking a gamble on, you know, a bunch of centers and power forwards and a, you know, shooting guard that might be good. It's confusing, like Dave said. It's the only thing I could see happening is giving these guys with some of our other veterans and getting some more cap space to try to make a big splash in free agency. That's the only thing I could see coming anytime soon.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, and I see what Chris is saying, but here's my thing, right? We can scrutinize the draft. We can scratch our heads. We can question it all we want at this point because we don't understand it. And guess what? That's our job. We're supposed to sit here and either to analyze it, to question it, to break it down, and that's what we're doing. So here's my thing. All right. So you blow everybody's minds. And you take a bunch of big guys and add to, you know, your analogy earlier, you're armless, you got great legs, and you don't go for, you know, adding.
You bought a nice pair of cleats.
Yeah, you bought some great shoes.
With your no arms.
But you still have no arms.
Right.
Exactly. But, all right, if that's the case, then your targets in free agency need to be shooting guards and point guards. But yet, we're still hearing with fair certainty from good sources that their number one target in free agency is Ryan Anderson. So this is where I'm trying to understand, where are they going right now? I understand that the draft is fluid. You have a plan. You have a draft board. Things are going to be dictated by the picks above you. Who's willing to make trades with you? Who's willing to work with you? If nobody does, you have to go with the route that you think in this limited amount of time that you think is the best option. Okay, so that's it. The draft's done. There's no mulligans. Can't redo it. Okay, but you might have to change your free agency approach.
So the scary thing is, in the point you just made, that there's going to be a reliance to fill in these holes, seemingly, through free agency.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say.
Do you remember a free agency signing that we did several years ago by the name of Ramon Sessions?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. You couldn't even get players to come and work out. You worked out one guy, Wade Baldwin, the 4th in the top 30. Mm-hmm. Because agents will not allow their players to work out here. Because agents don't want their players coming here.
Guess what? This is what's going to have to happen, Dave. And I see where you're going with this. It's going to be hard to get people that you want here.
Yeah.
This is where Vlade is going to show his true colors. Because, yes, agents are the problem. But guess who does a really great job of talking to players?
That's where,
and
that's
gaining
where
their
is,
trust.
Yeah, that's where the value comes
that's
in, and you hope that
he's
works.
He's going to really have to make his money here.
All right, last hour of the show. Obviously, we're going to continue with our NBA draft special, focusing heavily on your Sacramento Kings. Full phone lines right now at 339-1140.
Please hang in there with us. We're going to get to you.
We'll get to Sherwin, Julian, Chris Allen, and another Chris as well. If you're getting a busy signal, just be patient. We also have draft grades we'll peruse as well, from everything from CBS Sports to Fox to Sports Illustrated. We'll share those with you when we get back. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.